Please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. That was Proverbs 4, verse 23 from the New King James Version.
Good to be with you again tonight. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. We just heard that read for us, of course. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. There are many passages that emphasize the heart, and we need to understand just how significant the heart is, the biblical heart, of course. That is referring to our minds, but the heart is extremely important. Probably the majority of our Christianity rests upon the condition of our heart. If our hearts are not right, then we won't be right with God. If we allow our heart to go astray, it's only a matter of time before the rest of our lives follow. And so we need to understand what the proverb writer is saying here, how important it is, keep your heart with all vigilance. I have said many times that not my quote, quoting an unknown source who said it's the uncrucified thought life that is the center of satanic assault in our lives. And whoever said that was right. In other words, what it simply means is if the devil is ever able to have his way with us, it's because somehow, in some way, he was able to infiltrate our heart. And, of course, once again, once he does that, for all practical purposes, he is the victor and we are defeated. And so we need to do everything we possibly can to keep him out of our hearts. We need to be vigilant about that, knowing that if he has his way with us, if he can somehow influence the way we think, if he has any impact at all in our disposition in life, then again, he is going to win the battle over us. And so we need to keep our hearts. I remember the situation with Solomon. And you recognize, of course, that Solomon went astray from God, but what was the root of that? It was, of course, the condition of his heart. Look over at 1 Kings, if you would, to chapter 11. And again, a familiar situation with Solomon, but this is what the record says. I think it's enlightening. 1 Kings chapter 11 at verse 1 says, "Now King Solomon loved many foreign women along with the daughters of Pharaoh, Moabite and Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonians and Hittite women, from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the people of Israel, 'You shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods.'" Solomon, it says, clung to these in love. "He had 700 wives that were princesses and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart, for Solomon when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." And so there are several things that Solomon did wrong, several ways in which he sinned here, obviously. First, he married these women whom God specifically said not to. He violated a direct command from God. But then they were able again to turn away his heart, and so he even was guilty of idolatry. And that's hard to imagine. Someone who God spoke to. In fact, the record said, spoke to him, appeared to him twice. And even after that, somehow, some way, he was convinced to go and serve other gods. But what is interesting, what has always been interesting to me in this context with regard to Solomon is what is said in verse 9, where it says, "And the Lord was angry with Solomon because..." Now, what follows that? It wasn't because he married foreign women. It wasn't because he committed idolatry. That is, that's not what is stated. Now, make no mistake about it. Those things angered God. There's no doubt about that. But what God realized was that those things were just symptoms. God knew what the real problem was. And it was that real problem that made him mad first. That angered God. It says again, verse 9, "And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who appeared to him twice." He had a heart condition. He had a heart problem. And tonight, the one thing I want us to walk away from with regard to this lesson is just to realize how important it is that our hearts be right with God. And we're talking about our biblical heart, of course. But we realize that it is critical, it is crucial that we guard our heart, that we're vigilant when it comes down to that. Because we can't survive without keeping our heart in good shape. In that regard, it is in line with the physical heart. We know that if you have a heart condition, if your heart stops working physically, you are going to die. We know that. Spiritually, it's the same way. If your heart becomes diseased spiritually, if your biblical heart, your mind becomes corrupt, if the devil is able to infiltrate your mind, it's going to lead to spiritual death every single time. We have to keep the heart. I remember, and again, another passage that is familiar to many of us, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul talks about strongholds there. And if you're familiar with that context, and I've preached on it from time to time, he's dealing with strongholds of the mind. He is saying in that particular context that he is willing to go to Corinth and pull down strongholds. And he was referring to the condition of the Corinthians. Their minds had become strongholds for the devil. He was able to infiltrate their minds. And so their minds, their biblical hearts, became a fortified place, a place of safety for the devil. Just imagine that. Imagine you allowing the devil to feel right at home in your heart. That you allow your heart to be a safety zone for the devil. That's what happens when your mind becomes a stronghold for him. And I've emphasized again before in making that point that one of the things we should realize is that it is easier to keep the devil out of our heart than it is to remove him once he really takes root in there. That can become a problem, and of course it can ruin our souls. We have to keep the devil out of our mind. We have to be vigilant when it comes to this. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus says something about this. Understanding how important it is to have a heart that is pure and right with God. It is, again, the root of all of our problems spiritually. That is a corrupt heart. Matthew chapter 15, and you might remember, Matthew the 15th chapter at verse 10, it says, "And he called the people to him." Matthew 15 at verse 10. "He called the people to him and he said to them, hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person." And maybe we should back up just a little. You might remember this context. Go back to verse 1 here. Matthew chapter 15 at verse 1. It says, "And then the Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat. He answered them, and why do you break the commandments of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must certainly die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. So Jesus says, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honors me with their heart, with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They had a heart condition, didn't they? You just mark it down. If your heart is far from God, you're not right with him. You're having a heart problem. And that was the case with these individuals. It was demonstrated by their violation of the word of God. It says at verse 9, in vain they do worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. The fact that they were so willing to brush aside a commandment from God shows that their hearts were far from him. Dismissing the commandment, not honoring their mothers and fathers, that was just a symptom. The real problem was their heart. Their heart was far away from God. And so they were all caught up on their tradition and not washing their hands and all of that. And that's why Jesus again says at verse 10 or verse 11, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person. And then his disciples came and he said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? He answered, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the pit. Don't worry about them, Jesus is saying. They're fake plants. Their hearts are far away from God. They might think that they're right with God. They might think they're the people of God, but they're just fake plants. If you're worried about offending them to the point you find yourself following them, it will be the blind leading the blind, and you'll all end up, he says, in the pit. But Jesus said, then explain the parable to us. And he said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts. Here again are all of the symptoms from having a heart that's not right with God. He says murder. Terrible sin, of course. But just a symptom of a heart that has been corrupted. He talks about adultery and sexual immorality. He talks about theft and false witness and slander. All of those are terrible things that, of course, make God mad and will cause individuals to be lost. But what is the real problem? Their heart condition. What comes out is just a demonstration of the heart. That's what's important, not what goes in. You spend all your time worrying about eating with unwashed hands and all of that, taking all of those measures in the physical realm. That could be important and can be healthy and all of that. But what you should really be concerned with is the condition of your heart. Because when that becomes corrupt, you're in trouble spiritually. You will lose your soul. How vigilant are you in watching over your heart, guarding your heart against the advances of the devil? You know, again, he understands that's target number one. Like he wants to destroy us, and he'll do anything he can to make that happen. He'll go to plan B and plan C and plan D, but plan A is to get into your heart. That's what he wants to do. And the only one who can keep him out is you. The only one that can stop the devil from infiltrating my mind is me. I have to purposely keep him out. How can I do that? There are several ways, practical ways we can do that. We first of all have to be careful what we allow into our minds. Now, what we think about on a regular basis is very important. We've read passages along those lines many times. Probably the most familiar is Philippians chapter 4. Do you remember what Paul said at verse 8 of that chapter, that particular passage? Philippians 4 and at verse 8. For those who think it's okay to think about anything and what you fill your mind with is not that important, well, just think about what Paul writes here. Philippians 4 and at verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you think about is important because that's connected to the heart, isn't it? The biblical heart, the mind. We have to think on things that aren't corrupt in themselves. You can't fill your mind with sinful thoughts and sinful things and think that you're going to be unaffected by that. That's the devil trying to get in. First way he does that is trying to get you to think or believe that it really doesn't matter what you think about. Guard your heart with all vigilance. Follow the advice of Solomon in Proverbs 4:23. Because everything, life itself, flows from it. And so we need to be careful about that. The second thing, of course, is to take the aggressive approach and not only watch what we're going to put in our hearts, but purposely fill our minds with the Word of God. Remember in Colossians chapter 3 and at verse 16 what Paul says about the Word of God. Colossians chapter 3, I believe we had this passage on the screen this morning. But Colossians, the third chapter, and at verse 16. Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. Maybe we dwell most of the time on the singing part of this verse, but it's the first part of this verse that is critical so far as the heart is concerned. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I've often said that's where the power of the word of God is. It's in the dwelling. It's not just in the hearing. It's when it dwells in your mind. It's when you read a portion of God's word and you keep it in your heart. When the word of God dwells in you, it'll protect you against sin. David understood that. The psalmist understood that. When he emphasized in one place that he filled his mind with the word that I might not sin against you. That's the power of God's word. 1 John chapter 3, John tells us that if the seed is in us, we cannot sin. Of course, he's talking there not about a single isolated sin, but a pattern of sin. We can't live in sin as long as the Word of God is dwelling in our heart. That's a powerful way to protect your mind against the assaults of the devil. Study the Bible. Meditate upon the Word of God. Listen to it regularly on whatever device that you have. Do whatever you have to, whatever your time allows you to do and your schedule allows you to do, to fill your mind regularly with the Word of God. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you. That's a great way to keep the heart and to be vigilant in protecting it. And then, of course, we need to think on spiritual things here. In Colossians 3, still, if you back up just a little bit to verse 1, it says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. As you examine yourself, what do you think about the most in life? things that are physical, material things, or spiritual things? Oh, we're going to think about physical things. As I've often said, we live in a physical world in physical bodies. We have physical needs. Of course, we're going to think about those things. But we ought to be thinking more regularly, every day. Our minds ought to be on heavenly things. We ought to be thinking about the Word of God. We ought to be thinking about our home in heaven. We ought to be thinking about the church and brethren and things that are spiritual, things that come from God. We ought to fill our minds with those kind of things. Because in doing so, we're protecting ourselves against the devil. The heart is important. I don't care who you are, if you're a seasoned saint or a babe in Christ, you must realize the devil is coming after your heart. If he can't, don't think he's just going to quit if you don't allow him in. He'll again go to plan B or C and whatever. But first, the first thing he's going to do is try to get into your minds. Because he knows if he can find an uncrucified thought life, if he can find a mind that's unprotected, he's going to gain the victory. It's no accident that Paul, when he was describing the armor of God, he said, put on the helmet of salvation. Protect the mind. Because the devil is coming after us. We need to be vigilant. I hope and pray that we'll do that. Remember, if we fail in that area and our hearts become corrupt, our lives will follow. We simply won't be right with God very long if our hearts are not right. Let's do what we can as individual Christians in our daily lives to protect our hearts. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. Why not do that tonight? Why not obey the gospel? We serve just a wonderful God who could have said, if you want to be saved, live perfectly. And he would have been just. But we serve a God of mercy. Oh, yes, he's a just God. He's fair and right, and we should be thankful for that. But we should be thankful that he's not only that. He's a merciful God. He'll give us what we don't deserve, a home in heaven after a while, fellowship with him right now. But we have to obey the gospel. We have to repent of our sins and be baptized. Acts 2 at verse 38. It's in the waters of baptism that our sins will be washed away by the blood of Christ. Now we're in position to have fellowship with God. But you have to act. Maybe you're a child of God and you haven't kept your heart. Maybe the devil has gotten in. Why not expel him tonight? Repent of your sin. Make up in your mind. Kick the devil out. Make up in your mind you're not going to sin anymore. You're going to do better. You're going to start serving God. Ask God for forgiveness. And the Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive you. Do what you have to be right with God. Do it now as we together stand and sing. There's a fountain.